Unreliable socio-economic and political practices have jeopardized our society. In the face of these affairs, which have kept our society at the brink of collapse, information remains the deal breaker. Foundation Radio, in its strive to remain the voice of the voiceless, has embarked on the incisive investigative reporting and analysis to reshape our society and give it a moral face. Join our reporters in the news magazine program News Extra, a one-hour news production intended to uncover striking societal concerns and demystify them. Get the deepest understanding about your economic, political, and sociocultural issues in News Extra. News Extra on Foundation Radio every Saturday from 7 to 8:30 a.m.
Foundation Radio.
Our society has been wrecked by economic improprieties, political maneuvers, moral decadence, and debasing sociocultural practices. In the face of these vices, which have kept our society at the brink of collapse, constructive information remains the deal breaker. Join our formidable team of reporters on News Extra with incisive investigative reporting and analysis tailored to reshape our society and give it a moral face. News Extra is a production of the news service of Foundation Radio that uncovers striking societal concerns and demystifies them. Get the deepest understanding about economic, political, and sociocultural issues in News Extra. News Extra, your window to constructive criticism.
Foundation Radio.
Foundation Radio's News Extra team welcomes you to another week roundup of news, commentaries, analysis, interviews, and opinions on News Extra. For presentation, I am Priscilla Ninge, and on behalf of the entire team, I say welcome. It has become a common habit, healthy or not, for most parents to give consoling food items to their children, either to have time to meet up with other societal demands or to stop the loud screams. With denial to these children, often it happens that the screams come louder always and ever. But the question is, do we actually ask ourselves what we give these children, if it's actually consumable, if it's right, or if it is wrong? And as Cameroon celebrates World Diabetes Day and also World Food Day, we should focus on how well we can feed ourselves to avoid diseases such as diabetes, high blood pressure, and many others. It doesn't just end with our feeding and eating habits, because we can't just say speed kills without asking ourselves the kind of foods we use. It is not just about saying the words or writing them, but actually about having roots that are worth respecting. If a young boy or girl at the tender age of 11 can see I can't wait to be a grown-up so that I can eat my own money from government. What do we expect from the elders? They have learned that it is not about service to country and to other people, but rather service to self that actually is self-sufficient. How do we change that? How do we make it better? How do we make everybody's keeper? That's a wonderful question that we should be asking ourselves. For what reason are we public servants who offer no service to the public? I wonder. This is News Extra on Foundation Radio. You're welcome back. And we begin the first step and the first part of the package of News Extra with a revisit of events that made news this week. Our man on the beat was Lanza Vela, and he comes back with this week in retrospect.
One major news of the week within the region was the announcement that an agro-industrial project will soon go operational in the Donga Mantung division. The industrial zone will focus on tubers, palm oil, and animal husbandry. Almost at the time when a presidential decree declared the St. Elizabeth Cardiac Center in Shizong as a public utility, this in recognition of the enormous public services offered by this health structure. This implied that the Shizong Cardiac Center would benefit some advantages, including fast treatment of its files, tax exonerations on imports, and general dealings with government. Candidates of the Northwest region who are vying for a place in the army underwent medical examination during the week. The medical test, which took place at the 6th Military Sector Headquarters in Bamenda, was meant to eliminate candidates who weren't physically and medically fit to serve in the military. Nationally, the 2015 Days of Excellence for Scientific Research and Innovation, dubbed JESIC, held in Yaoundé under the theme Researching for Development with Focus on Innovation. For 3 days, researchers displayed results of their research works aiming compensation from government. And as the week opened, 5 people were reported dead and 20 others injured after a suicide blast in Fotokol in the Logon and Shari division of the Far North region. Social affairs experts in Cameroon met in Yaoundé to re-examine articles of the Criminal Procedure Code that protect minors. They also identified elements that hamper the implementation of these articles 10 years after the institution of the Criminal Procedure Code. The third ordinary session of the 2015 legislative year opened in both houses of parliament with a call on MPs to work in synergy for the development of the country. The session will focus on the voting and adoption of the 2016 state budget. A series of gubernatorial installations also made news during the week. There was the installation ceremony of the new governor to the South Region, Felix Ngelengele. He replaced the retired Jules Marcelin Jaga, who served in the region since 2010. This was closely followed by the installation of Samuel Dieudonné Vahadibua as governor of the Littoral Region. Both ceremonies were presided at by the Minister of Territorial Administration and Decentralization, René Emmanuel Sadi. Out of Cameroon, Chad declared a state of emergency in the Lake Chad region after attacks by Boko Haram militants from Nigeria. This followed the killing of 2 people by suspected militants. Senegal's president Macky Sall called for a fight against what he termed excessive form of Islam. Himself a Muslim, Macky Sall said this had led to the growth of jihadi groups. He also suggested that Muslim clerics should be trained to promote tolerant Islam. And the boss of Africa's biggest mobile company, MTN, resigned. Sifisco Dabengwa's resignation followed a fine of £3.4 billion from Nigeria for failing to cut off unregistered mobile users. And in sports, Russia's sports ministry said it was studying a report by the World Anti-Doping Agency which called for the country's athletes to be banned from international competitions because of widespread cheating. The head of World's Athletics, Sebastian Coe, called on Russia to respond to allegations by the end of the week. And those were some of the major stories that made news during the week. Back to you, Priscilla Ninge Ndayo.
Thank you, Lanza Vela, for that retrospective view of what happened all through the week. In the morning of November 4, 2015, the corpse of 9-year-old Happy Pritiche, a primary 5 pupil of National Social Insurance Fund Primary School in Tamulong, was discovered dead in a stream below the Young Sports Academy at Mai 6 Nkwen. Investigating police officers blame the mobile telephone company MTN for not providing vital information on time. Otherwise, investigations would have been faster and the life of the Pretty Happy saved. Now, MTN says this is not true. Mukunjani Nelson has been investigating and now reports.
Pretty Happy went to school on October 30, 2015 and never returned. Her aunt, with whom she was staying, gave the police numbers the alleged kidnappers had been using to call asking for a ransom of CFA 4 million francs. To cut a long story short, while negotiations and investigations were going on, the little girl died. Apparently, as a result of an excess of the tramadol drug administered to keep her asleep. The main suspects, Ambe Neba Jasmine and Asa Brandon, have since been arrested. In a report carried by Cameroon Tribune of November 6, 2015, the Officer in Chief for Investigation at the Bamenda Central Police Station, Senior Superintendent Guehuo Gabriel, blamed the MTN mobile telephone company for not providing vital information that would have hastened investigations and maybe saved the girl Pretty Happy. That was his own part of the story. For reasons of balance and in fairness, Foundation Radio sought for an interview with the MTN authorities to get their own side of the story. Well, in place of an interview, we were served a written response signed by Jean-Melvin Akam, Senior Manager Corporate Affairs MTN Cameroon. According to the MTN, the Bamenda Police requested for a call history and user's name of two suspected numbers on November 2nd. We have a copy of the request here at Foundation Radio. This information, they say, was provided to the investigating officer on the same day, reason why they cannot understand the allegations against MTN. MTN, therefore, the release concludes, is in no way connected to the unfortunate death of this child. Well, that is a tragic story of 9-year-old Pretty Happy Chair. We assume that both the police authorities and the MTN mobile company did their best to get her out of the hands of the hoodlums. Fate might not have been on her side. Now that the suspects have been arraigned, let justice take its course. Otherwise, the ghost of Pretty Happy Chair will haunt those who attempt to kill her a second time forever and ever.
Mokunjani Nelson in that report. On the 4th of November, President Paul Biya signed a decree declaring the St. Elizabeth Cardiac Center of the Shishon Catholic Hospital in Kumbu a public utility. Such a status confers certain privileges on the structure and adds to its credibility. Perhaps more importantly, it is expected that this would facilitate dealings both with government and external partners. Christopher Fogwe comments, this presidential action that recognizes and acknowledges the merits of the Shishon Cardiac Center and prays that the president goes an extra mile to motivate other laudable initiatives for a better Cameroon.
President Paul Biya's decision to confer on the Shishon Cardiac Center privileged partner status is highly commendable and very welcome. The 4th of November 2015 will therefore go down in Cameroon history as the day on which the president signed the decree declaring the St. Elizabeth Cardiac Center of the Shishon Catholic Hospital a public utility. Declaring an entity a public utility is a legal provision applied to private structures that offer public services recognized for their great impact on the people, which the state acknowledges or recognizes. The public utility status confers certain privileges on the structure and includes fast-track treatment of its files and exonerations in areas like imports, taxes, and in general dealings with the state as a whole, which is not the case with other private structures. The center can now formally receive state support, which it has already been enjoying on a case-by-case basis. The new status also gives more credibility to the Shishon Cardiac Center and facilitates its dealings with international partners. In addition, the center can negotiate and receive state staff on secondment, as well as negotiate other special deals. No Cameroonian of goodwill will hesitate to acknowledge the magnanimity of the Catholic Archdiocese of Bamenda, the Tertiary Sisters, the President of the Republic, as well as the Vatican, which must have greased the diplomatic wheels that turned to ensure the degree of success achieved so far. Even so, it has to be also acknowledged that it is not often that the state goes out of its way to confer privileged partnership status to other common good private initiative establishments that contribute immensely to the well-being of masses of Cameroonians in the health and educational domains. The Presbyterian, the Baptists, and some non-denominational establishments have showed proof of braving great odds and making enormous sacrifices to take good care and educate the needy, especially the pupils and students, obtaining quality education with none of the support that government used to provide in previous years. It took 8 grueling years to complete the St. Elizabeth Shishon Health Center. President Paul Biya declared it a reference center during the inauguration on November 2009. Managed by the Tertiary Sisters, the center offers cardiac surgery and ASD closure, as well as diagnostic and interventional catheterization. Getting to the center continues to be a veritable way of the cross, even though the long-awaited ring road has reached Kumbo Town. Tarring the stretch of road between Kumbo Town and the cardiac center will minimize the trauma of the jolts in and out of potholes. By a stroke of the presidential pen, that stretch of road can be tarred sooner rather than later.
Christopher Fogwe, and indeed, when you know that you can have help when you have cardiac or any health problem, it goes a long way to make your stress reduce. Diabetes, or sugar disease as it is commonly known in our villages, is one of those terminal illnesses no family would want to deal with. Conscious of this, the United Nations designated each November 14 as the World Diabetes Day. This day is meant to raise awareness on the causes, consequences, and control of diabetes. We are not medical experts, and so we have to let an expert say it. And that expert was Mukere Vivian, a diabetes educator at the Bamenda Regional Hospital. She spoke to News Extra's Lem Sandra Famujang.
I am Mukere Vivian, a pharmacy technician and diabetes educator working at the Regional Hospital Pharmacy.
Why is it important to commemorate a day like this?
World Diabetes Day is the world's largest diabetes awareness campaign with events organized in more than 100 countries around the world. The International Diabetes Federation, the World Diabetes Day, unites the global diabetes community to produce a powerful voice for diabetes awareness and advocacy. World Diabetes Day is a year-long campaign to reflect the realities of dealing with a chronic condition. World Diabetes Day is celebrated annually on the 14th of November, led by the International Diabetes Federation. And the World Diabetes Day was created in 1991 by the World International Diabetes Federation and the World Health Organization in response to the growing concerns about the escalating health threats posed by diabetes.
So what is diabetes? Because so many persons are hearing of diabetes, but the truth is some persons do not really know what diabetes is all about.
Diabetes is a serious complex condition which can affect the entire body. It is described as a chronic condition, meaning that it lasts a long time, often for someone's whole life. Diabetes requires daily self-care, and if complications develop, quality of life is reduced. Diabetes can strike anyone from any walk of life. It affects more than 330 million people worldwide, and World Health Organization estimates that by 2030, that number of people living with diabetes will be more than double. Living with diabetes places an enormous emotional, physical, and financial burden on the entire family. And when we are talking about diabetes, we have three main types. We have diabetes type 1, which occurs mostly in children. We have type 2 diabetes, which occurs mostly in adults over 40 years. And we have gestational diabetes, which occurs in pregnant women. Diabetes is the leading cause of blindness. It is equally the leading cause of kidney failure. It increases the risk of heart attack and stroke by 4 times. Diabetes is the main cause of limb amputations. It equally affects mental health as well as physical health. Depression, anxiety, distress occur in more than 30% of all people with diabetes.
And what are some of the symptoms?
Some symptoms that come to diabetes is being more thirsty than usual, passing more urine than usual, feeling tired and lethargic, always feeling hungry, having cuts or wounds that heal slowly, itchy, skin infections, blurred vision, unexplained weight loss, especially in type 1 diabetes, diabetics, mood swings, headaches, feeling dizzy, leg cramps, just to name a few.
And does this diabetes actually have a cure? And if it doesn't, what can be done to actually control it?
As I earlier mentioned, diabetes is a chronic condition. Meaning that once you have it, you live with it and you die with it. It does not have any cure, but it can be controlled and you live a happy and prolonged life without even developing complications. The main goal of controlling diabetes is to maintain normal blood sugar on a regular basis to prevent complications. There are some steps that can be followed to control your diabetes or live happily with your diabetes. These are to check your blood sugar regularly, normally. Even if you have your blood sugar machine in the house, it is important to visit the hospital at least once a month to see a doctor for advice. You exercise at least 3 to 5 times a week and about 30 to 45 minutes per session. When I talk about exercise, it doesn't mean going to the field to play football or running from here to Bambili or so. Simply even walking, dancing some music in the house. If you can join a fitness club, fine. It is not like a particular kind of sport is prescribed or a particular kind of exercise is prescribed. Like the old mothers and the old fathers, they can even have their grandchildren play and run around the yard with them, just to make sure that they sweat and they feel good. Eating healthy is equally very important in controlling diabetes. As the theme even for this World Diabetes Day, or healthy eating. Normally, healthy eating simply means eating plenty of fruits, vegetables, and less of proteins and carbohydrates. There is a guide on a handy portion guide for healthy eating. That is, choose an amount of the size of your fist of each of grains and starches and fruits. For vegetables, you choose as much as your hand can fill your both hands. Meat and alternatives, you choose an amount up to the size of the palm of your hand and the thickness of your little finger. Fats, we should limit fat to an amount the size of the tip of our thumb. One of the other factors that predisposes us to having diabetes is obesity. When we talk about diabetes, early diagnosis is very important, because when you diagnose early, you will be followed up and you will reduce the risk of complications. Optimal treatment, effective ongoing support and management reduce the risk of diabetes-related complications.
Before, it was always said that diabetes was an illness for the elderly persons, but nowadays so many young children are diagnosed with diabetes. What could really be happening?
That statement is not true, because as I earlier mentioned, we have 3 types of diabetes. We have type 1 diabetes, which occurs in young children. Some children are even delivered with diabetes because it is equally a genetical disease. So it can be transmitted from the mother to the child. It is genetically linked. So a child can be born with diabetes. At times, it is not discovered. Maybe at about 5 years and above or less, it can be discovered, maybe because of some symptoms and because of the child's ill health. And when they visit the hospital, a doctor can ask for a blood sugar test, and then they will know that the child is diabetic. It is not only a disease for the old, It affects everybody, as I earlier said. Normally, people above 40 years, everybody, you and I, when once we are above 40 years, we are predisposed to diabetes. Sedentary lifestyle will predispose us equally to having diabetes. As I equally said, that it is genetically linked. So if a family member of yours, your mother, your father, also is diabetic, you are equally predisposed to having diabetes earlier on in life.
And that was an expert talking on the control, prevention, and everything that can help to curb the spread of diabetes, especially in the youth of today. Speed kills. That is the theme of this year's edition of the World Day of Traffic Victims, commemorated every year on the 15th of November. Going by this year's theme, Foundation Radio's Athanasius Atanga, when finding out what could be the major cause of road accidents, we get his report.
How well do we manage our roads? What should be blamed for the numerous road accidents that occur almost on a daily basis? Does the road really cause these accidents on its own? Every November 15 is being commemorated as World Day of Remembrance of Road Traffic Victims. This has to do with those who have died or sustained injuries on the road through accidents. Going by this year's theme, which is Speed Kills, drivers without any second thought are already guilty of being the major cause of road accidents. Despite all measures the government has put in place to curb road accidents, the number of deadly road accidents keeps increasing by the day. The government has been able to put in place speed detecting machines. Local councils mount speed brakes, drivers use traffic police, but the situation seems to worsen. What then should be blamed for the road accidents? Some say the roads do kill on its own, meaning the bad state of the roads contributes to the number of road accidents. Road users do not manage the roads well, be it the drivers or pedestrians. There are some people who do not bother to check well before crossing the road. How easy do we forget our basic lesson on how to use the road? Before you cross the road, look on both sides of the road and make sure no car is coming before you cross. Some people think being in a haste automatically means the driver will understand and slow down for you to cross. Road users are most at times very impatient to wait for the road to be decongested before crossing. This type of situation, no matter how careful the driver may be, an accident will be inevitable. Since the theme of this year's edition of World Day of Remembrance of Road Traffic Victims is Speed Kills, then the driver should watch out that the international community is pointing a finger at them. The wrong use of the highway code has been blamed lately for most road accidents. Either some of these drivers are excited to display their speeding skills to their mates or passers-by, or they are not trained, therefore not experienced. Some drivers, especially the motorbike riders in our own context, are always in a haste to cross or pass. These drivers do not respect the official distance between two cars on the highway going the same direction, which is commonly known as car distance. Speed brakes and traffic lights are not respected by some of these drivers, which we can describe as reckless drivers. Most of these drivers and riders do not respect or know how to use the roundabouts on our highways. They cross straight because they did not spot any oncoming car. Speed kills, yes, but how do these drivers get the documents that permits them to go on the highway remains the million-dollar question. The issue of valid driver's license may not be the main concern, because those who have gone through driving schools and obtained valid driver's license do not use the road responsibly. Could it be the issue of time that drivers do overspeed? No, because drivers of private cars do cause road accidents with their whole family on board because of overspeeding, as the road is good, as it could also be bad if we don't use it responsibly.
Athanasius Atanga. And he goes further in an inclusive interview with the manager of a driving school in Bamenda to find out how professional drivers were directly accused by this year's theme of the World Day of Traffic Victims. He started by introducing himself.
I'm Mr. Ernest Ndonwi of Paramount Bilingual Driving School, based in Tarinkun.
What are major causes of road accidents?
Yeah, I'll say we have bad roads, though bad roads will not really be the cause, but it's part of the cause. And recklessness of the drivers, though some are well-trained, some clandestine. Yeah, so being clandestine, we don't know how some of them obtain their driver's licenses. But I want to believe that those who go through the legal procedure and pass through a driving test, which the Ministry of Transport does it for their own good, I think they are well trained and they use the road perfectly. Though with the potholes, they still can manage. But we have reckless drivers who go clandestinely lane, and some of them run on the highway without driver's licenses.
Okay, so is it true that some pedestrians, they don't know how to use the road?
Yeah, exactly. You know, there are some pedestrians who just live from the village to town. Yeah, but notwithstanding, when you are in agglomeration, when you are in town, you have to be careful the way you drive, because you drive with pedestrians.
Is it driving license or driver's license?
Well, what we have written on it is driving license, but normally it's supposed to be driver's license. So we'll not change the English term that we've made on it. I should not be the one to change it. That's what is written on the document, driving license.
Okay.
But I want to believe it should be driver's license.
How should this license be obtained?
Yeah, to obtain a driver's license, you have to pass through a well-recognized driving school, an authorized driving school. And to know an authorized driving school, when you get there, the driving school is supposed to maybe show you the authorization. Yes, and if a driving school is not authorized, the driving school is not eligible to register you for a driver's license examination at the Ministry of Transport. So to obtain, you pass through a registered driving school, an authorized driving school, and at the end of your course, you will be registered for a driving test at the Ministry of Transport. Then the ministry takes care of that one now, gives you an examination, both theory and practicals. When you are through with that, then the minister now signs and issues you a driver's license.
That notwithstanding, does it mean that we don't have fake driver's license or driving license on the streets?
Well, I cannot tell because I've not really met one. But, you know, I cannot tell. Let me just put it that way. Because I've never seen one. But I want to believe that if there are fake documents in other domains, then in the driver's license sector, they must be fake also. But it is difficult for a driving school to issue a fake driver's license, because if a driving school issues a fake driver's license and you are being held on the street, on the way, by maybe a traffic police, that traffic police is not supposed to detain you. That traffic police is supposed to ask where you got this driver's license from. And you should be taken to the place where that driving license came from, and the person who gave you that document should be held responsible, not you having it. I think that way.
Yes, we're saying so because maybe something can just pop up, and somebody, maybe one of the documents that are needed for somebody to get into an institution should be a driving license. And now they just get to these institutions and pay some money, and the license are issued. Not saying that they don't know how to drive, but they have not been taken on a driving test.
Exactly. Yeah, what you are saying is true, but a driving school does not issue an automatic driver's license. We don't issue driver's licenses. Driving schools do not issue driver's licenses. It is the Ministry of Transport that issues. We are just there to authorize and give a document that this person has been trained through us. There is a procedure that you must undergo before you obtain a driver's license. There is no way they will give you a driving license within the space of 1 week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks. It is impossible.
Now tell us, is there any difference between somebody who have been doing driving for the past 20 years and somebody who does driving in a driving school for 1 year
Can you compare it to experience and certificate?
I don't think there is any difference when you are a driver. No matter how the duration in the field, if you are reckless, you remain reckless. If you are 1 year in the field and you are maybe, how do I put it?
Responsible,
then you are a responsible man.
We understand that one of difficulties driving school they do have is a lack of space. Do you consider that before you set up a driving school?
When you talk of space, I will not understand. When you say space, is it the accommodation in class or space in what?
Yes, doing your tests and maybe driving. It's just that somebody comes the first day, you take the person on the highway to start teaching on the highway?
Not exactly. We have courses that we go about. We have courses we start with you theoretically in class to make you know what a vehicle is all about. You don't just come, you don't know what a vehicle is all about, and we put you in the car. So we put you, first of all, you have to sit in class, go through a theoretical classes, which comprises of teaching you the internal part of the car and road signs and how to manage the road first before taking you to the roads. I think we have earth roads in town where we don't have that much congestion. For instance, for somebody who knows Mulang is a very big street which is not well congested. If you go towards the airport road, it's not also congested. Yeah, so there are many other roads in town that are not congested that we can take a beginner there. Yes.
All right, so the last question, just to say, yeah. Now the two,
yeah,
the road, the pedestrian, and the drivers,
mm-hmm.
Mechanics too,
yeah,
causes of road accident. Put this on a percentage, who should we blame most for these road accidents?
I cannot put it on a percentage because I want to believe that all these people you've mentioned, if they put their hands together, these things will not occur. Because the driver, I would say 1%, the mechanic 1%, the road users 1%. Because when you are driving on a daily basis, if you look at the accidents, they are not really because of mechanics. So I can also put mechanics aside, because you going to the garage, you have to know that every month end or every 2 weeks you have to go for maintenance. And you know that going for maintenance, you have to check your brakes, check this. So if you go to the garage and you are not there, though we have some mechanics who are not really qualified or whatsoever, but they are qualified mechanics. But even if they are not qualified and you go there, you know that this brakes has to be done this way. Because being a monitor of a driving school, you have to undergo a training also. You don't just get up one day with your driver's license and you go and open a driving school.
Even though a majority of Cameroonians in general are not westernized and not aware of the experimental vaccine tests for Ebola taking place at the Centre Pasteur in Yaoundé and the Bamenda Regional Hospital, the few who are aware appear to be in conflict already as to why government had to embrace such an exercise and why the Northwest region. In the paper that follows, Lanzavala examines some of the arguments and counter-arguments that have so far been advanced on the decision.
Many Cameroonians are still unaware of the experimental vaccine test for Ebola ongoing in Cameroon, precisely at the Centre Pasteur in Yaoundé and at the Bamenda Regional Hospital. The few who are aware are seemingly heavily divided as to why Cameroon was chosen as a test ground for the Ebola trial vaccine when it is not hit by the Ebola crisis. Worst case scenario is the choice of the Bamenda Regional Hospital, whose laboratory cannot in any way measure up to the Centre Pasteur, which is a laboratory of international standard and repute, and could host such an exercise if need be. While addressing some of these issues raised by a collection of civil society organizations that visited the regional hospital recently in relation to this, the director of the hospital, Dr. Kinge Thompson, said that Bamenda was chosen because the hospital has a competent virologist and a sophisticated laboratory manned by a seasoned lab technician, as well as for geographical reasons. Whatever role geography has to play in this could only be explained by him. Critics argue that Cameroonians are not guinea pigs, and that for the state to accept such a thing was putting citizens at a high risk, considering that the disease claimed more than 11,000 lives in some six West African countries. Some have even asked competent authorities to seek medical advice from renowned medical practitioners in the country, saying if the vaccine trial fails, it will fall back negatively on Cameroonians. But according to the Minister of Public Health, Andre Mamafuda, the vaccine does not contain any virus which can lead to infection, noting that the concerned persons will be injected with the Ebola virus, which, however, has no guarantee they will be prevented from being infected. Even though officials say that insurance has been contracted to support or compensate volunteers who undergo the test, the question still remains why a country that has not been hit by Ebola can opt for such a controversial drug trial.
And after Lantavilla unleashed the trial vaccine, news actress Wunja Leslie was in the streets of Bamenda asking city dwellers if they would accept that a trial Ebola vaccine be tested on them.
I know the green, I would deny. Why you choose Bamenda for can't try the vaccine? We'll get road there for fix them, in there to fix them. If one can try treatment for Ebola for Bamenda, there's something more to it.
No, I would deny, because Ebola no dey Bamenda. So if government they talk me the test of the Northwest, them say they sick this year, we no know. But if they signal they then they don't get to test on here, because you know if you go test on TV or play with no day, how you do not say be effective or not for the virus or for the mixing. Ebola mixing. So I deny, no be good.
What will make me where I know will feel accepted, because first of all, I get my own doctor when I go to hospital. If it happens, say I get any problem, it would prove for me, say this I get problem. I need to take this treatment. So my doctor will tell me, say if they won't give me any treatment where I know be the call the treatment, I leave her until when I can't see the proof that I take the treatment, I take her. Yes.
No, I will not accept, because Ebola is not in Bamenda. And in fact, I'm not an Ebola patient, so they should not test it on me. Yes, that's my opinion.
I know if you accept, because they test and attest them, and they test that kind of thing on animals them, or they do research inside lab before they give treatment for people. Maybe say the job will come, say they test this thing on Northwest and they don't look in a how. Why they not do it for you on the people over Southwest and them? They can't have for you. Can't save me, they can't do it for you. By the way, who get Ebola for you? They just disturb underestimate me for Northwest here, we no correct. And the first thing I say, Bamenda man get for no rights. As you as a citizen of Cameroon, where you come up Bamenda, you get for must know your right. No say this thing so, if you do as soon as so, if you do as soon as so, no correct.
Evergreen, because Ebola this one has sick way to keep people. But why government want talk say everyone can test enough for Bamenda? Because the other year they come now, they can't go put some other vaccine for like news. They keep you with them. They see one can't test them again now, so say the one can't test Ebola for Bamenda. Why only Bamenda? Me they go to a different site. I want some to test them for here only. Special for A2D.
What where government do I'm correct? But they begin for look that region the way the Ebola will already be affected. Test the vaccine for them, because when they bring her now for Bamenda way, the sickness will not ever come in for Bamenda. I don't believe say some man can stand say me they took vaccine for his skin way in the sick. So region the way inside is very Cameroon. who just toss like that side of Bagasi. The Ebola be do used to affect people over that side. They need to take the vaccine, go now for day because plenty of people become presently now so. People there they see sick Ebola. They begin for test that vaccine then for them because when you can see me we are strong now so you tell me say one test vaccine for my skin way and then they sick Ebola me I know accept them. Me they search inside this country, inside this very Cameroon where they talk say they all prescribe the medicine so region then they where they get that sick. Me they go for that region there, and I show say the vaccine will be test from there and maybe now from there where they will get a good result why. The medicine they work or you need to work.
I would deny I don't feel green. May I go test time for animals for bush because God already protect me. I don't feel green that kind thing. See me they take injection where they want test and a test and test and for me human being. Because I die when I want kill me so.
I will agree. I don't really do the test. So then I will go they give me some book. I read them.
Doctor
ask me say you agree or you no agree. I say agree. Then I go on my test, my result come on say I get ready for do that vaccine and I vaccinate them. Then they give me rendezvous. Say me I come again 2nd December for check up.
No, I no go green. Why? Because those people they already know say Ebola now from bush animals where that. Disease it come out. So now for them they take the serum of those animals before they did come out with the vaccine. So may they go back to find out those type of animals taste that very vaccine for them, not for human beings.
Anofi green.
Anofi
green that matter for testing. Because testing for this Cameroon will not get confidence.
Nonsense.
We'll get first. Plenty cases and way it don't key with souls, even paralyzed speaking them way. No one day. Even Queen Max where they took her first time for children them, it don't over destroy them. Destroy if you see the boy picking and so you just they say the unborn to one and so they went up and so they as they begin with the 2 years, 1 year, it work I fine, they go to Queen Max injection. Say now this they begin those paralyzed, 1 foot big, 1 foot small. So we no fit accept this thing. Say they come test. Me they go for bush. They go test that very this thing for the first. The medicine for the first for animals. Then if they see, I'm saying correct for the animals. Then okay. Before they come now for human being.
No, I no fit accept because the virus no be active for here. It not there for me. It not there for the environment. Because we know say that virus be active because when people they chop like bush meat or the other kind of thing and so or if it transmit through handshake or the other kind of thing and way that when that virus be active now. But now where the virus not be for year, it not there for this area or for this site. So no need for test that vaccine for year. They will test another side where it be active. For see whether if man come in contact with the virus, it will work or it not go. Walk, but if they told you they will come meet up empty people where the virus not be pronounced, it not even be available. They want to test that drug, no, it be suspicious. Yeah, it be suspicious. So we not even believe whether that the virus, now the makes where they want to test them or not different thing they want to do.
Well, this is a developing story, and we're hoping to get the officials of the Bamenda Regional Hospital to explain more on this. In our subsequent editions, the competent authorities were on official duties in Yaoundé when we tried getting to them. Health will always be more than wealth, and what we eat goes a long way to impact on how well we live.
There are people who can walk away from you, and hear me when I tell you this. When people can walk away from you, let them walk. I don't want you to try to walk another person into staying with you, loving you, calling you, caring about you, coming to see you, staying attached to you. I mean hang up the phone. When people can walk away from you, let them walk. Your destiny is never tied to anybody that left. The Bible said that they came out from us that it might be made manifest that they were not for us. For had they been of us, no doubt they would have continued with us. People leave because they are not joined to you. And if they are not joined to you, you can't make them stay. Let them go. And it doesn't mean that they are a bad person. It just means that their part in the story is over. And you've got to know when people's part in your story is over so that you don't keep trying to raise the dead. You've got to know when it's dead. You've got to know when it's over. Let me tell you something. I've got the gift of goodbye. It's the 10th spiritual gift. I believe in goodbye. It's not that I'm hateful. It's that I'm faithful. And I know whatever God means for me to have, He'll give it to me. And if it takes too much sweat, I don't need it. Stop begging people to stay. Let them go. If you're holding onto something that doesn't belong to you and was never intended for your life, then you need to let it go. If you're holding onto past hurts and pains, let it go. If someone can't treat you right, love you back, and see your worth, let it go. If someone has angered you, let it go. If you're holding on to some thoughts of evil and revenge, let it go. If you're involved in a wrong relationship or addiction, let it go. If you're holding on to a job that no longer meets your needs or talents, let it go. If you have a bad attitude, let it go. If you keep judging others to make yourself feel better, let it go. If you're stuck in the past and God is trying to take you to a new level in Him, let it go. If you're struggling with the healing of a broken relationship, let it go. If you keep trying to help people who won't even try to help themselves, let it go. If you're feeling depressed and stressed, let it go. If there is a particular situation that you are so used to handling yourself and God is saying, take your hands off it, then you need to let it go. Let the past be the past. Forget the former things. God is doing a new thing for you. Let it go. Get right, get left. Think about it and then let it go. The battle is the Lord's. Next, stop and think and appreciate God's power in your life for doing what you know is pleasing to Him. Yes, I love my God. He is my fountain of life and my Savior. He keeps me going day and night. Without Him, I am no one. But with Him, I can do everything. Christ is my strength. This is a simple test. If you love God and you are not ashamed of all the great things that He has done for you, send this to everyone you know. God loves you and watches over you every day.
You're welcome back. If you're just tuning in, this is News Extra on Foundation Radio, My 6 Mankon in Bamenda. The recently appointed Minister of Arts and Culture, Professor Narcisse Mwele Kombe, has made his first move to grapple with some of the issues that have continued to create discord among Cameroonian artists and the ministerial authorities. The minister has created a commission that is in charge with pacifying wrangling artists by distributing some funds granted by President Paul Biya for those who show proof of being creative enough to deserve them. Christopher Fogwe wonders whether this new approach will radically change the situation. Let's get him in this report.
Cameroonian artists are notorious for wrangling with themselves and with their Minister of Arts and Culture. The vast majority of them are abandoned to themselves by the powers that be and find it extremely challenging to make a living from their creative endeavors. The Cameroon government has so far showed little or no interest in establishing institutional structures for the capacity building of potential artists or for the promotion of creativity in the domain of the fine arts across the country. Through the years, various ministers of arts and culture have paraded through the ministry, but the situation of artists continues to be as dismal as ever. The recently appointed Minister of Arts and Culture, Professor Narcisse Marcel Kombi, has made a major move which artists hope will make a positive impact on their situation. The minister has created an Arts and Literary Commission of 12 members who are expected to carefully work with recognized artists of the arts and literary genre to enable them benefit from their talents. The minister emphasized that the special funds recently granted by President Paul Biya to the artists were not only for musicians, but also for artists in the area of literary works, fine arts, painting, sculpture, plastic arts, decoration, etc. The special commission is charged with ensuring that all those who deserve some reward for their works benefit from the fund without any exception. Ousmane May, the Secretary General of the Ministry of Arts and Culture and head of the commission, stated that the role of the commission is to ensure the proper selection of beneficiaries and transparent execution of the available funds. The questions that spring to mind are many, among which are the following. Now that the members of the commission are mainly functionaries and elites operating within the capital city environment, will they adopt the business as usual attitude of presuming that Yaoundé is the center of Cameroon culture and that artists who wish to be reckoned with will go down to Yaoundé for recognition and selection? Or will commission members go scouting around the various regions and why not various divisions and subdivisions to identify talented, active and deserving artists operating in their local surroundings? And how far will the yet to be disclosed amount of the presidential funds stretch to make an appreciable impact on the lot of the artists who are working mainly in dispersed ranks, given that the government has yet to create institutions within which they can work in synergy? Given also that in progressive nations, talent promotion is budgeted for right from the nursery, primary and secondary schools and continues to be a vital and dynamic sector of the university settings, will this hodgepodge spontaneous presidential approach to promotion of the arts ever create the critical mass of professional artists that can enable Cameroon pull its weight honorably among nations of renowned cultural identity?
Christopher Fogui in that report. On Saturday, May 9, 2015, over 700 common law lawyers met at the Bamenda St. Joseph Cathedral. While decrying the marginalization of Anglophones in Cameroon, they called for a return to a federal system of government. According to the lawyers, this was the only way in the present dispensation they uphold the Anglo-Saxon values of Anglophone Cameroon. In a memo to government, they gave a time limit of 6 months for a response, failing which they would take the matter to the Supreme Court, acting as the Constitutional Council, and then to international jurisdictions. The 6 month period has elapsed and no direct response to the memo has come from government. The lawyers too have made no declaration to this statement. And so, why the public, especially the Anglophone community, anxiously wait for the next step? It seems others want to take up the struggle their own way. This is the case of Evangelist Ngwa Aaron Ander, who, besides being a God messenger, is also a human rights activist. He spoke to Mokun Johnny Nelson.
Evangelist Ngwa Aaron Ander, you are a human rights activist and you are very concerned about the plight of Anglophones. Now, some 6 months ago, Anglophone lawyers sent out a memorandum to the president of this country, giving him an ultimatum to look into some of the plight of the Anglophones. 6 months have expired and no response has come. Now, you are complaining about this same issue. What really is your worry?
Yes, my worry is and has been the oppression on the southern Cameroonians. In fact, the issue of the lawyers, I consider the lawyers as the mouthpiece of the people. And they acted very late, but thank God they came up, because in April this year, I went on my knees on a retreat for God to transform the minds of southern Cameroonians to see the truth. And thereafter, after the retreat, it started unfolding. Things started unfolding with the lawyers, the chiefs of Southwest, and so on. My immediate worry has been the hike in unemployment among the young people. Southern Cameroonians have been transformed into slaves when actually they were to be on equal status with La République.
But now some people say that the problem of Anglophone Cameroon, Anglophone Cameroonians, are the Anglophones themselves. What do you say about that?
Yes, this is the view of those who look at it from that angle. But if a lot of issues have been violated, like the pre-conference that was to hold after the plebiscite, is that the fault of the Southern Cameroonian? If the Southern Cameroonian has been so docile to take action in order to put their situation right, that does not mean that they are the cause of it. If the Southern Cameroonian is begging his bread down Yaoundé and you go there, he tries to talk by French to you and not English, that is not the major problem. The major problem is underdevelopment. The Southern Cameroonian has not been developed. Every development here is going down to Kribi, going down to Yaoundé, going down to Douala. Where is the industry here to offer the Southern Cameroonian employment? What of the industries that existed? The marketing board, the Cameroon Bank, the WADA, and so on, to mention a few. All these are things that were to offer employment to the young Cameroonians, but unfortunately, they are not there. So if we are saying that the Southern Cameroonian is the cause of his problem, I don't see to that. I don't see to it, because the major areas of concern are not there.
Now, have you had the opportunity to make your worries known to some of the authorities that day?
Yes, most of the documents I've been writing, every document I write, I send a copy to Mr. Bia. Even passing, and I grabbed a letter in the air written by the governor, I replied to it, mentioning all these things, but no reaction. I want to congratulate Mr. Bia for his ability to be shock absorbing. People have written. I want to remember that at the time of plebiscite, I was 8 years, and I am 62 today. What have I seen? The frustrated Southern Cameroonian, and I don't see any way through.
Now, you are an evangelist, a God's messenger, you are a human rights activist. How do you compromise your religious activities and your activities of activism?
When we say pastors are not supposed to be involved in politics, one of those Montito in South Africa, one of the guy in America,
Jesse Jackson,
are they not pastors? They took major roles in the freedom of their people and they spoke for the people. But in Cameroon, when you want to talk, they say pastors should not do politics. But who are the people suffering? The Christians, the citizens. They are the people suffering. Therefore, we cannot now distinguish the difference. When Jesus was talking and criticizing the wrongdoings at the time he was on earth, was he not a God's son? And as such, when we run away from responsibilities, let us not say that we are pastors, we should not be involved in politics. Because the immediate person you see suffering is the Christian. The children suffering from kwashapo and so on. So I think that we should, as I have said and continue to say, let us have a revolution of the heart so that we can be able to see those truths in what we are saying, and we build a solid society, a heaven for our young people. God bless you.
Mokunjani Nelson in that interview. Nigeria that produces dozens of films every other week. The film industry in English-speaking Cameroon is relatively modest, unlike the neighboring Nigeria, producing less than 100 films every year. The films are usually low-budget, backstreet films with mostly amateur actors. The biggest problem facing the industry is lack of finances and a lack of seasoned actors. However, some Cameroonian filmmakers based abroad have been trying to revamp the sector, with one notable film, Nia's Dowry, by United States-based filmmaker Victor Vigneault. He has won more than 40 international film awards. Special correspondent Francis Ngwaniba recently attended a film launch here in Bamenda and has been examining the state of the film industry in Anglophone Cameroon.
We are not only competing with Nigeria, but I think that some of us have stood on podiums with Hollywood, and we have come back with the awards.
The announcer does not mention which award a Cameroonian film won against a Hollywood blockbuster, but that was the last thing film lovers who attended the launch of The Benefactor, a new film by director Tikun Taitu Sakuru, wanted to know. The launch at a Bamenda hotel was an occasion to raise some badly needed funds for Akoro's next film. It did not attract the type of local big business tycoons he would have liked, but it still raised some money. The director of the film, Tikun Taitu Sakuru, outlines some of the most pertinent problems he faces as a director.
Yes, some of the challenges are finances. The next one is logistic. Also, getting to get the right characters and taking the time again to train them to be able to deliver.
With local film producers struggling to make a breakthrough, there are indications Cameroonian filmmakers based abroad and who shoot films frequently in Cameroon might save the industry. Goretti Echu Egbe is based in the UK and has just finished shooting her first feature film titled simply Woman. Why does she think foreign-based filmmakers usually produce better films than their counterparts in Cameroon?
If I'm good at it, it's because I'm passionate about it, and it's because I take steps to improve on my talent and on my passion. I educate myself, I attend workshops, and just trying to be a better filmmaker. That's it. I think in Cameroon, a lot of that is lacking.
Even Jesus Christ, the Son of God,
The main protagonist in Victor Mvuyu's highly acclaimed film Nina's Diary sings a song to the delight of some of his drinking friends. Now based in Los Angeles in the USA, Victor's film has won more than 40 international awards so far.
Then pay back the money we pay on your head now.
The film centers around a wife beating husband who angrily demands his bride price back after his long-suffering wife escapes after 19 years of marriage and 4 children. Now a well-acclaimed multiple award-winning film director, I asked Victor to give some advice to aspiring film directors.
The main thing is watch movies, you know, and read. Don't just watch movies, because if you watch movies, then everything becomes derivative. When you watch movies, don't watch only Nollywood movies, or, you know, watch movies by some of the best filmmakers around the world. You know, pick a region. You know, it could be Asia, wherever. You know, it could be Europe. You know, pick Sweden. Find out who were the great Swedish directors over time. Watch their movies. Learn from them. Find somebody that whose work you really like, and find out why you like that work, you know. Study, learn, you know, online. Now you can learn a lot, you know, on the internet.
Our special correspondent, Francis Ngwa Niba. The letters you sent on this edition of the program shall be read to you in a moment. Mujer Leslie opens a mailbox and begins with his first letter from Chi Sinorin, who is very angry with the declaration of a trial vaccine against Ebola in Bamenda.
News Extra. I don't know if the Cameroon government really cares about the Northwest region. How can government order for a trial vaccination against Ebola to be carried out only in Bamenda? A good government will not even allow any case of trial vaccine in this country. Has Bamenda become guinea pig? It's like after selling some valuable companies in Cameroon, the government also wants to sell the Northwest region. What if somebody takes such a trial vaccine and develops some dangerous effect? News Extra, our government should think twice. The Northwest region is composed of people and not of dogs.
Letter number 2 raises concerns from Ransom of Bambly for the high demands of some wives and girlfriends for Christmas.
Dear News Extra, I thank you for giving me the opportunity to talk to some of our girls and married women. I understand that Christmas is a period when everybody wants to look good. Despite this fact, you girlfriend, you don't have to demand all the gold and silver in the whole world just because you want to look good on Christmas Day. Do you want the guy to steal? And you wives, you also need to understand that your husbands have full responsibility over the children who are always clamoring for bonbon, bolo bolo, biscuit, Christmas dresses and all the like. When you as a wife, you also add your own long list of high heel, wrapper, and all the rest. Do you want the man to die of stress?
In a chat letter, Roland says he feels bad when he sees people messing up the streets.
News Extra, Many people in Bamenda blame only the city council for leaving our streets dirty. It is true the city council has a great role to play as far as keeping Bamenda clean is concerned. But we, the citizens, are sometimes responsible. When we walk along the road while eating granite, where do we keep the peelings? When we chew sugarcane while walking on the street, where do we keep the chaffs and the peelings? We should also try to keep our city clean. We have to also join hands with the city council to make Bamenda a better place.
Those were the letters we had on this edition of the program. We encourage you to keep writing, keeping your letters short and straight to the concerns you're raising without insult to others. You can write to us via email on radio.foundation@yahoo.com or drop your mail at the Foundation Radio premises, My 6 Ngomgam Mankon, Bamenda. Athanasius Atanga visited his stands, and this is what he brought back from the print media.
The papers had enough to feed on this week, especially with the 33rd anniversary of President Paul Biya's power. The Times Journal newspaper in its Monday's edition says, notwithstanding claims to the contrary, celebrations of Paul Biya's 33rd anniversary on November 6 was not everywhere an unqualified success, as was evident in the far north region, where more than 300 militants, including one mayor of the CPDM, resigned, denouncing the improper methods of functioning that characterized the Cameroon People's Democratic Movement. The over 300 CPDM militants resigned in Yagua because of what they described as tribalism within the party. The Sun newspaper says the reorganization of the basic organs of the CPDM overshadowed Biya's 33rd anniversary in FACO 3 CPDM, as the unusual fanfare and euphoria characteristics of CPDM anniversaries was absent in Boya, as President Paul Biya's 33rd anniversary in power was observed nationwide. Public health minister under fire for okaying Ebola vaccine trial. The Guardian Post newspaper reports that President Paul Biya has petitioned against the experimentation of an Ebola vaccine in Cameroon, which will require the importation of the deadly virus into the country. The paper continues by saying, while dissenting voices are emerging against the trials of the Ebola vaccine in Bamenda and Yaoundé, reports say some 124 persons have already signed up as volunteers for the experiment barely 1 week after it was announced. UB matriculates over 6,000 freshmen. Aiden newspaper reports that the University of Boya, UB, has officially welcomed its 23rd batch of students. This was during a matriculation ceremony that took place on October 31st, 2015. The paper says the ceremony that was presided over by the university's vice chancellor, Professor Nalova Lyunga, also sent out a huge number of Cameroonians into the job market. Still in any newspaper, we read this story: released former Tuba mayor to reappear in Yaoundé court. The paper says, though Staniliu Sofa, former mayor of Tuba Council, engineer Emmanuel Chekunga, resigned freedom from almost a year of detention at the Bamenda Central Prison while awaiting trial, they shall be reappearing in the administrative court in Yaoundé, soon following an appeal filed by the Tuba Council for the same issue. Mba Acha to investigate own sister. According to the Times Journal newspaper, the first major issue that the recently appointed minister delegate in charge of Supreme State Audit, Mba Acha Rose, will have to tackle will require that she delves into possible financial impropriety on the part of her tribeswoman, Amma Tutumuna, the former minister of art and culture, whose family compound in Bengui is situated just a few hundred kilometers away from hers. The Guardian Post says Volker Finke has reacted to his sacking to what the paper terms Volker Finke strike back. The paper says Volker Finke was pressured to drop Eto, Song and others. He rejected bribes to select players. He selected only 12 players for the World Cup. According to Finke, Njonkep is a better coach than Belinga. Volker Finke says Tombi Aroko is a businessman and not a spotter, so it's not good for Fecafoot. That's all we had time for this week. On to next week for what the papers would have said.
Thank you, Athanasius Atanga. And on to sport. The 3-0 thrashing of Niger by Cameroon has seemingly reinstated at least a modicum of confidence that the fans had in the team and that has been absent for long following a series of mediocre performances. Lanze Vela captured the peak moments of the game, and the following write-up opines that it will be very untimely to conclude that a new era is done in the Lions' den.
It's been a clean start for Alexander Belinga, who through the conventional 4-4-2 system of play of Cameroon put the Lions back to its winning ways after a perennial period of mediocrity. Tactically composed with an attacking force that proved combat ready from the onset, it was going to be a clinical game for the entire squad that looked confident at the Seni Kouchi Stadium out there in Niamey, Niger. There was a near perfect coherence in all the compartments of the Lions game, with just very few shaky moments following incursions from the Nigerian keeper Musa Mazu, whom the Lions defense maestro Nicola Nkulu succeeded in keeping at bay. Glad to say that from the start, the Lions looked very hungry as Vincent Aboubakar came close to raising the curtains in as early as the second minute of the game. 9 minutes after, Tottenham Hotspur forward Clinton Jay was denied a perfect opportunity when goalkeeper Dauda Kasani stopped his thunderous shot at close range. The hungry Lions continued tormenting the Antelopes right up to the 35th minute when Stefan Bia benefited from Bedimo's cutback and headed in the opener of the game. Just 3 minutes after, Vincent Aboubakar, seemingly a dead ball specialist, converted out of the 18-meter box in a stunner that put Cameroon in a more comfortable situation. But that comfort zone apparently was not spacious enough to convince the Lion it had conquered the battle, as in just a minute after, Sally Edgar got the third and last for Cameroon thanks to a fast break properly masterminded by Choupo-Moting. A few minutes into the second half, the Lions kept mounting pressure when a jinxed Clinton Jay failed by a whisker to make it four for the Lions. Tactics, composure and determination all combined paid off for Cameroon that looked impressive and almost dominated the entire game, even though Niger were not too bad in their own backyard as they created a couple of scoring opportunities which all remained sterile. Given that there was marked improvement in the Lions game vis-a-vis the friendly encounter against the Super Eagles of Nigeria, it would be premature and perhaps fallacious to jump into the hasty conclusion that Cameroon's football has been reborn with the recent overhaul of the technical machinery, this without implying that Alexander Belinga didn't manage his resources tactfully. Just that there is still a lot to be done to ensure that the beacon of success keeps burning in the den, and we hope and pray that the annulment of the entire fake of the electoral process wouldn't have a negative bearing on this journey for a return to glory.
Lanze Vela. In this week's edition of What's On Your Mind, some Cameroonians have been given the opportunity to meet President Paul Biya. Now they are face to face with the president, and let's listen to what they tell him and ask from him.
If you are to talk with the president of the republic today, what are you going to tell him?
What is pressing in mind now is the problem of unemployment in Cameroon, especially with the youths. So I'm going to ask the president, what has he done or what is he trying to do?
Yes, I go fit there. He said, no, you don't need for the celebration. You don't need for surrender with the chair. Give for the young talented youth. They may they try for see what the food do for the country. Hey, time don't pass for that chair.
I'll say long live the president of Cameroon.
Ah, they say me no be an absentee landlord. Me always be like, is it? Me always there for a project. Me always can't see and say, me no sign an olive paper. Me see say, this will not be carried out by being present there. Ah, I'll tell you, say, me like construct the road. The Obaminda, me no only there for your own day. The arrange your own day way. The other side them. the Nessa Bush.
If you gave a meet up President Biya today, what you fit tell you?
If I meet up President Biya today, I will fit thank you for the security we don't keep I protect we from Boko Haram.
The way you did the continuous on travel keep further of pay.
If I meet him, I'll first of all congratulate him for what he has first of all done for the country. There are so many things he has done, but although we'll not really see it. Because for one person to satisfy the whole public is not easy. Even if they satisfy 10%, 100% will not even really accept that we have been satisfied. And then there is the issue, this issue of Boko Haram. I will ask him why this Boko Haram issue, I don't know where it's coming from. It is like them they hire, where they are, they know what is really going on. But us, we don't know. We don't even know where this name Boko Haram is coming from. Oleye Boko Haram, there's a problem in the country. They really need to solve the problem so that this issue of Boko Haram should just disappear, but they don't want to do it. So what I really tell him is that he should go and really see what he can do here with the government and see what they can do for this issue. There is something hiding somewhere behind the back, behind the ground, that they don't want to really come up with the issue. They don't want to come up with the problem and see how they can really... they can make the country to have peace. Although we have really been having peace, because in some countries they are everywhere, every day you see, if you watch over the television, you see war every day. Although we are fine for that one, but and this Boko Haram issue that is coming on like that, there is something behind that they need to see what they can do with it, so that it will be buried down.
You have to meet the President of the Republic today. What are you going to tell him?
I'm going to tell him that today, now in our country, there are many things, you have difficulties. At first, when you have 1,000 francs, you can cook. Then now, if you have 1,000 francs, you cannot even cook. Everything, things are getting expensive. Then people go to school, comes back, there's no job. You are just joblessness everywhere. People are just going about running. There's nothing. Things are not really moving. The country is getting strong and difficult every day. So we are just being afraid. Maybe our children that we are delivering, we don't know what will be of them in future.
Well, our life hotel President Biya said, me try for give out your youth job. Like me present now, I not get a job, because if I forget a job, I not for being a stress out myself like this, because thing they know a job work are fine. And again, I would like to say, if like today President Biya if he been come like some place like Baminda, I would like to say, even if when the council to see how it road. In fact, they know job move well inside Baminda, because road spoil, not you know job worker, and me try for make and where you then get work, because thing they know the worker road everything.
I'll be very excited for see the man and for discuss with you if you get the opportunity for talk for you, because if we give you university, we will come Baminda. So, and he don't give the university, although he never give all the department, then so we'll still wait. And for being a very good man, no matter if they hate you, so they don't know what they do.
No, for my own opinion, wait till I'll talk. I say, one may really create we road. We need road, and we'll solve our palaver road with this our country. Yeah, so, now my own opinion that I don't get anything plenty, just one only road from me.
And it is on that note that we come to the end of this edition of News Extra on Foundation Radio. Contributions came in from Lanze Vela, Athanasius Atanga, Lemsandra Fomujang, Christopher Fogwe, Wunja Leslie, and Mukun John Nelson. Technical support was provided by Julius Tendong and Walters Barry. For presentation, I have been Priscilla Ninge. We thank you for your kind attention, and we invite you to listen to another edition of the program same time next week. Meantime, you can listen to other programs on Foundation Radio, The Voice of the Voiceless, on FM 100.